for your word. Thank you that we belong to one another and we've come to worship you today. Thank you that you have said that you will be with us when two or three are gathered together. So, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to receive all that you want to say to us today. And by your grace and mercy, help us to respond to you in love and obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. An old lady of 104 was asked what it was, what good was it about, what was great about being so old and being 104. And she replied, no peer pressure. But you know, I think one of the great things about getting older is that you have so much of life to look back on. And if you've been a Christian for many years, you can look back and see how God has been so faithful, so good. You can see how he's provided, how he's protected you, how he's guided you, and how he's loved you unconditionally, despite all our failings, despite all that we have done, or I have done. God has never stopped loving me. And God has never stopped loving you too. Yeah, we may have some questions as we look back on life. I'm sure we all do. So that when we get to heaven, we'll be asking a few things. But oh, how good it is to see what a faithful, loving God we have. And so today is a day when we are indeed thanking God and looking back as well as looking forward and thinking about what God's call upon our life is. So if you would turn with me first of all to Psalm 103, page 613. And what great words we have right at the beginning of this psalm from David. And I've been struck recently as I've reading some of the psalms, David's up and downs of life, a roller coaster, probably just like you and me. But so often, even in the midst of difficulties, he praises God. In fact, I was reading, I don't know why I was reading, but that first hymn we sang today, Now Thank We All Our God. I was reading the other day, and the man who wrote that, at the time there was a plague, and he was losing 15 parishioners every day. But he wrote that song, Now Thank We All Our God. You might want to look at it again afterwards for his children to remember to thank God. And over a year, he lost 1,000 within his parish. I didn't mean to say that, but I thought, because we sang it this morning. So, what does David start off? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. A real proclamation of thanks to God, that this is what David wanted to do. And so he begins to say, do not forget all his benefits. And so often we do, don't we? I was struck when Sarah spoke at the Women's Breakfast recently. She said that actually preparing her talk and giving her life story was helpful to her because it made her look back and see how God had led her over her life so far. And we so easily forget what God has done for us. And that's why again and again in the Old Testament, God reminds the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. How many times does he say that? Because he needs to remind them, and we need to be reminded too, of who God is and what he has done for us. And I wonder, do we remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? Or do we surely say and take it for granted? Every night before I go to sleep, I try to give thanks to God for three things from that day. But I think that surely every day must one of the things must be to say thank you for Jesus for what he has done. Because through Jesus, I am a child of God. To be thankful. And David then reminds us in verse 3, what we're thankful for. Well, one of the great things, of course, that we're thankful for is his forgiveness. He forgives all our iniquity. All, every single thing that we have done wrong, God forgives when we are truly sorry and come before him with repentance, true repentance. And he reminds us in verse 4, we redeem from the life of the pit. Without Jesus, life is like being in a pit. And we are doomed to die. But with Jesus, we are redeemed from that pit, from death, from sinfulness. And in verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins. Thank God for that. He deals with us according to his love and his mercy. And so in verse 4, it reminds us, in verse 5 as well, he heals us. In verse 3, he heals us. He brings wholeness to us. We're only truly whole when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So his forgiveness, which is just amazing. Sometimes we find it hard, don't we, to forgive those who have hurt us. And yet so many times we have hurt God, but he goes on forgiving and forgiving us. And in verse 8, he satisfies us with good things. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Sorry, in verse 5, I can't read my own writing. He satisfies us with good things. Amen. So many good things, good relationships, good friends, so many things. And in verse 13, as a father, we can call God our father and we are his children. And as a good father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on us. And so this psalm to me is a reminder that we can be confident as we look back. And as I look back upon my life and God's working in my life, I am so thankful. But then it gives me confidence to look forward, to know that God is still the same. He will still provide. He will still guide. He will still be there. And so are we thankful? You see in that verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What is David saying there? David is saying, everything that I am, everything that I have, I want to thank God with. All of me for all of God. And that means we need God to touch every part of our lives. Every part of our lives, including, as we think today, of our finance. So as we think with thanksgiving, we allow God's Holy Spirit to touch our lives and to lead us, and so that every part of our lives are touched. And with all that we have and all that we are, we can give thanks to God. And then I want us to turn, please, to Acts chapter 6. And our second reading, Acts chapter 6, and it's 1-8, page 1-8 in the New Testament. Because we need to think of God's work and how it can continue in this place. And this brings us to our second reading. And here we had the 12 disciples, and there were 12 at this stage because they had appointed Matthias. And the 12 disciples were spreading the gospel and preaching, and they were trying to do everything. And one of the things that they were trying to do was also help the widows, because of course there was no support system, and they were trying to feed them and give them enough food to live. But of course, there was a problem. There wasn't enough manpower. And the widows, some of the Greek widows, were complaining because they were neglected. They weren't getting what they needed. And so what did the 12 decide that they needed to do? They said, well, actually, we need help. So we've got to appoint some more people so that we can get on with our job that God has given us to preach the word of God and to help people to become disciples. So they wanted help. And so they appointed 7 others, those who were godly Christian folk who could help distribute food and whatever was needed to those in need. Isn't that amazing that there were 12 and then suddenly another 7? And what result was in verse 7? The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Wow, that was just what they were looking for. The early church were keen to spread the gospel and make God's kingdom come. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And the 12 knew what they had to do that. Well, why is this reading particularly relevant to us? Well, because today there are more and more things in our churches that have to comply with legal obligations. Data protection, health and safety, safeguarding, employment law, accountancy regulations, and so on. And recently we appointed an operations manager to work part-time to help with some of these things like health and safety and HR. So I asked Hannah to come to the front a minute, Hannah. And Hannah, for those who don't know, and I was told that quite a few people won't know who the operation manager is, and here she is. Come on, Hannah. So Hannah is normally a member of the 11 o'clock service. She has 3 young children, and of course the 11 o'clock service is more appropriate. So just tell us very briefly, just 2 sentences about yourself, and people can talk to you afterwards.
Okay.
Of how you came to be our operations manager and what you were doing before.
Okay, so my previous job, I was a school librarian at Withington Girls' School in Manchester. So it's a bit of a change, but a lot of the skills seem to be transferring quite nicely so far.
That's good. Yeah. So she was very excited when the job was advertised, and she was one of those who were interviewed and appointed recently. So thank you, Hannah. Thanks for coming. So you can put a face to who she is now and talk to her afterwards. So Hannah is going to help with health and safety. She's only done a few weeks, so it's very early days. But great that she can take some of that burden of these things like HR and health and safety. And she's just getting to grips with it. And Hannah works part-time, so she's in the office certain days of the week, Monday morning, Friday morning, and Wednesday, full day. So it's really good. So it's a little bit like the 7 who were appointed. And we need, of course, to be able to fund that. We need to be able to pay the wages. But it means that we can be freed up, and Rob and the rest of the clergy, we can be freed up to do the things that we are called to do. And it may mean, of course, that in the future, we are in need of employing other people, maybe part-time, to do particular roles that have to be dealt with within the church. And that's where big churches like ourselves will be going. So the word of God here in Acts 6 was preached faithfully, and God's kingdom came. Now, if you look at that bit of paper, you had so many bits of paper when you came in this morning, but one of them that says Poynton Parish Church on the front of that, it says, God's generous provision, how we plan to use the money given by you in 2019 to serve and grow. And we can see there's 6 things, and I'm not going to read them all out, but we can see there that these are part of helping God's kingdom to come here in Poynton, and of course overseas, because we have our links with our mission partners in Argentina, India, and of course Gary Irons in Africa too. And we also help, as was mentioned last week, organisations like Christian Solidarity Worldwide. So on the inside of that sheep, it gives you a little bit more, a few more lines to explain some of those things in more detail. And so today, as well as thanking God, we want to think, if I am going to bless the Lord with all that I am, how do I do that? Is God calling me to do more? So we are asked to think, and we are asked to think too about bequests. It's sometimes amazing that people who have been very keen in the church, and they die and they forget about leaving any money for God's kingdom to continue to grow. So that's one of the things too, which is on this sheet. Don't forget to mention behests, that you can leave perhaps in your will something to the work of the church. Because in the past, we have been blessed here by some who have given considerable sums of money, which help us to build up the church. So we're asking today that that's what you will think about, and thank God for the past, and thank God too for the future. And as we are blessing God's name, we need to think about what God is speaking to us individually today. What is he asking you to be? What is he asking you to do? And what is God asking you to give to his work in furthering the gospel in this place here in Poynton, and of course overseas? Because we want to be able to say, as it says in Acts 6 verse 7, the word of God continued to spread and the number of disciples increased greatly. May that be our vision and our prayer. Amen.